So we are here in the most important moments of the retreat because we are focusing in our in her solitude, because our Lord granted many graces for those who will receive the grace of this devotion. And I insist, Philippines started with this devotion with a great, I will say, power. And also, in parenthesis, the only country, I don't know if you know, but the only country who has been consecrated to St. Joseph has been New Spain, 1555. So it was Philippines, Mexico included, on those times. It's in the history, it's the only country having consecrated to St. Joseph. So we continue them, therefore, in the last steps of Our Lady in her solitude. No? So we started already the first three. Our Lord died on the cross. Second, Our Lady receives the lifeless life of Our Lord in her arms, and after the piercing of the heart by Longinus. And Our Lady helping in the burial of Our Lord into the sepulchre. And remember, this is our the steps we follow in this life. So the nine steps of Our Lady is the nine steps we follow along our life together with the Blessed Virgin Mary. We accompany her. So the fourth step is when Our Lady has to go outside the sepulchre because it has to be close with the rock. The rock blocks the sepulchre. So she cannot see the body of our Lord, not even the sepulchre. So that consolation is not even there. So the solitude of Our Lady is going darker and darker. And this is like the like having the tabernacle. So the sepulchre, you know, our Lord's body is united to the divinity of of God. Okay? You have to know that. So the blessed soul of the soul of our Lord came down into limbo, and the soul was united to the divinity also. And the body of our Lord united to the divinity. And the blood of our Lord separated from his body in those moments because this was shed upon on the cross on the way to Calvary. Also, the most precious blood is united to the divinity. So this is one of the theological truths that we have to believe. So it's like it resembles to the tabernacle, this rock placed upon the sepulchre. So Our Lady is adoring our Lord. Yes, he died, our Lord. So St. Thomas Aquinas is the one who asked the question, theoretical question. There is no mass on holy truth. There is no mass. Okay. Well, in the modern Holy Week. There is no mass on Holy Truth and on Holy Saturday. So the question of St. Thomas is, if that day the apostles will have said mass, how our Lord will be at the altar at the consecration? That was the answer of St. Thomas. And the answer is, our Lord will have been consecrated and will have been with his body and divinity, but not with his soul, because he was in limbo, the soul was in limbo. Yes. So, our Blessed Mother is receive more and more her solitude deeper. So the fifth sorrow we prayed yesterday is Our Lady goes back to the Calvary to contemplate and to pray in front of the cross of our Lord, where He was crucified, empty and ready, full of blood, the cross. She was venerating and collecting the most precious blood as she could. But that contemplation is the contemplation of victim souls. So it's the vocation for victim souls. Because somebody has to continue the redemption. All the Catholics, but especially those victim souls, because they are those who take upon themselves the cross of the others to pay sins, to pay off the debts for sin. And this is our vocation. So the Benedictus of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, those who have the Red Cross, our founder, John Bautista Mivar, is what he said. Anyone worthy of the belonging to this congregation has to be a victim soul. It's why we have the Red Cross, because we occupy and we include ourselves in the cross. We nail ourselves on the cross. So the Red Cross is our own cross, united to our Lord's and our Lady's martyrdom. No? Especially, this is the devotion to Our Lady of Solitude also. Because if we decide, if we have decided to be with Our Lady in her solitude, that means that we want to be crucified in her Immaculate Heart in order to enter the most sacred heart of Jesus, to be a sacrifice for God, to be a victim soul, to be at the foot of the cross, and to suffer martyrdom, and to for Our Lady and Our Lord. This is the devotion. It's the devotion of the end of times. The devotion in the desert, in the solitude, without visible help, just relying upon our faith, our hope, with our love for our Lord. It's all that we have. Our Lady kept the faith completely, yes. But according to the saints, only Our Lady kept the faith completely alive that day, Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Saint John didn't lose the faith, but he has weak, very weak faith. When he saw the sepulchre for the first time, he believed right away. He just needed, yes, this confirmation of the resurrection. He was weak, Saint John. Still was weak, but Our Lady held her faith, his faith. And this is known also by tradition that Saint Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus gave Our Lady access to the way of Calvary. There was a door communicating Jerusalem intramuros, inside the walls, and Jerusalem outside the walls, extramuros. That was a big door. So, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they gave to the Blessed Virgin Mary access to that door, to enter and to go out, to enter and to go out. Maybe St. John had the keys. We don't know exactly how happened. But this is why he went back to Calvary to cry over our Lord and to meditate and contemplate. And in the sixth step, she goes back to the sepulchre, which is closed by the rock, to pray again. In the evening, we're speaking about the evening before darkness. No? Remember at those moments, did many resurrected, many saints resurrected. I was the earthquake also. I was the darkness. The 3 days of darkness was between noon and our Lord, when our Lord died, was darkness, complete darkness, the eclipse of the sun. It was not natural. It was something supernatural completely. They say that the fog of the darkness was so dense that you could not see your hand. You had to put your hands before your eyes almost to see your hand. But deep darkness. And they said this is the same darkness of Good Friday will be for the 3 days of darkness. People like to speak about that subject. Yes, the 3 days of darkness is biblical. Yes, it's spoken of by Ezekiel and Daniel and Zacharias, other saints like Ananias Taiji and Padre Pio, no? They speak about 3 days of darkness. Which is three days of vengeance of our Lord upon his enemies. And also the devils will be loose from hell. And according to Padre Pio, what will cause the darkness is because the devils will materialize in shape and material shapes or forms. And so because there are millions of devils in hell materializing themselves, being visible, they will cause the darkness of the sun, the devils. So this is on those 3 days God is going to have the vengeance upon his enemies, no? Will kill his enemies. And many will die also. Those who are, those who are lukewarm may die also. And there is a prophecy of St. Vincent Ferrer. I want to tell you about that. St. Vincent of Ferrer. Is it in English, Ferrer? No? Yeah. Okay. So he said the following. He said that in the last battle against the Antichrist, the church will be triumphant, but only those who have been confirmed will be able to survive that crisis, that last battle, survive and be able to fight efficiently well. He said that only those who are confirmed, yes. He mentioned confirmation, the sacrament of confirmation. And you have to know that the sacrament of confirmation precisely is the fullness of the Holy Ghost to strengthen us for God to fight in us as soldiers with his power to overcome evil and the devil and to carry the cross. Something essential is the Holy Ghost is essential to carry our cross and to become martyrs. It has to be only with the Holy Ghost. Of course, we receive the Holy Ghost in the day of our baptism, but the fullness and the power is in confirmation as a soldiers, with the mark of the cross and the forehead, as soldiers of Christ. So it's interesting, this comment of St. Vincent Ferrer, because the sacrament of confirmation has been adulterated, has been falsified, has been emptied out from this meaning, and also Paul VI modified the matter for confirmation, because for 2,000 years the church had already spoken that the matter for the Holy Christian essential matter for which is essential matter for confirmation had to be out of olive oil. And nobody had there to change that reality, that teaching of our Lord. Came from our Lord himself, indeed. The order has to be olive oil. And Paul VI challenged that, and he said that could be used any any oil at all for confirmation matter. So since then, so since that decree is doubtful, the matter of confirmation, because we don't know exactly what oil the bishops nowadays are using. If they use any other oil, we consider it invalid. Also, the form, the wording for the confirmation, also changed the form. So, the traditional form for us has been, for this, the Occident, the West, has been for this Holy Chrism and the power of the Holy Cross, no? I confirm the. But now they removed the mention of the cross. They said, by the power of this sacrament, we confirm you. That's it. They don't mention by the power of the cross. You cannot remove the cross without being in danger the meaning and the power of the sacrament. There's something very wrong there, very diabolical, I would say, modifying the concept, the matter, and the form. The concept was modified because for the Novus Ordo, confirmation means to confirm, to renew your faith, basically. And for them, baptism is to be welcome to the community of the people of God, which is the Catholic Church for them. It's what is the Catholic Church? The communion of the people of God. The community of the children of God. So for them, confirmation means to renew your baptism promises. That's what they mean. So you confirm that you are part of the people of God. This doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. And so this is something that you have to know about that. So we were speaking about this because we are fighting this in the desert with the powers, with the divine powers of the Holy Ghost next to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we need to be like soldiers. We need to be ready to give our lives like martyrs. So don't forget, brothers, we are in extraordinary times. It's something that we don't want to think about that, but it's a reality. We are not in ordinary times. We will lie that we'll be ordinary times, full of churches, full of priests, full of sacraments, full of good examples, and many monasteries, seminaries. No, we don't have those times. This is the times of relying upon extraordinary heroic faith and hope and charity and to be with Our Lady on the cross, at the foot of the cross, like St. John, to survive in the desert. And those graces are being offered by God through Our Lady. But the problem is we don't ask for them, or we are not at that level. We don't love the cross. We don't like that, to be like that. But it's a fact. And you know very well that according to the Apocalypse, the next event to come is the Third World War. You analyze the Apocalypse, it's the next event. It's the great punishment for our sins, where 2/3 of the population will be killed. So you can imagine. So when we speak with our foster fathers, they say that the most horrible suffering on earth has been always war. Because when you have war, you don't have health, food, drink, work, money. You don't have you cannot travel, you cannot have a normal life. And you are just burying people, you are just practicing charity, and you don't know if you are going to live the next day. Like that. And you are born mourning and weeping because your family and your people that you know and dying. It's horrible. War is the worst. Also because it's last, no? Last few weeks, it could be months. So it's why this retreat is very providential. So you have to be very grateful. This retreat is to, I told you at the beginning, to win all these graces to fight the good fight with Our Lady. Whatever may happen, you have to be ready. You are going to be ready because this is the promise of God. He will not allow that you will be loaded with temptations beyond your strength. He will not ask something beyond the graces. It's like He will give the graces to persevere. But you have to understand that we are in extraordinary moments. So even it's normal to be in catacombs, o sea, to be saying mass houses will be the most normal thing to do. During the COVID, if we wanted to be faithful, we could not be at the open saying masses. You know, let's face it, those protocols were against faith and faith and hope. For example, that rule of limiting the number of people in a chapel, this is unheard of. You cannot obey those things. Because nobody can have fear about something in the presence of God. And you cannot limit the amount of people who come to Mass to be in the presence of God. It's a sin against faith and hope. Or for example, to have obligatory face mask inside the church? No. This is a sin. To fear that our Lord being present in His sacrifice and His infinite goodness will cause an evil outside His will is impossible. Many were using face masks inside the churches and limited numbers, and even putting social distance between one and another one. I saw that in the SSP chapels, no? Everywhere. 2 meters distance between each other. And they put in the benches, in the chapels, the distance. Even you have to sign up and you are coming. If you didn't sign up and you show up and pass, you will not allow to be entered. You are not to enter the chapel. Those are grave sins. And they did that. Even we saw, they will put the temperature on your head like this, like a pistol, you know, about to shot you, to measure your temperature. You will not enter, no? Yes? Yes, this is amazing. So they were obeying those protocols in order to keep open. No, you do the opposite. You cannot be unfaithful to God. You cannot commit sins to be open, to keep giving sacraments. I told you sacraments is not the most important. The most important is faithfulness in faith, hope, and charity to God. First commandment. Therefore, because you cannot obey those protocols, you go back to catacombs. That's it. In catacombs, you are squeezed each other, ready to go to jail because they can put you to jail because the government doesn't want you to have social distance and face mask. We go to jail. Let's go to jail. Nobody was ready for that. It's amazing. No, let's protect ourselves just for prudence. Prudence. No. It was horrible.
It's coming
down. And our Lord's trust in Him disappeared. They have more fear to the virus than to from God. More fear of the virus than the fear of God. Yes. So this is extraordinary time. So Our Lady had to do. So the darkness was more and more serious because the seventh step of the solitude is she had to say goodbye to the holy places. She was not able to come back to the holy places. So. This is the seventh step. So that happened to us also in this crisis. We cannot enter, we cannot go back to the cathedrals and the big, beautiful churches that our fathers built because it's abomination inside going on, novus ordo. those beautiful churches made by our fathers for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass being used for abomination, the Novus Ordo. So those holy places cannot be used anymore for good purposes. And you see, yes, even good books and holy relics, they may not be being used. Misuse. And so Novus Ordo, remove the necessity of having relics on the altar. And what I have seen is a scandal. They end up in the museums, the relics, museums. So the tourists looking at, oh, San Bernard, oh, interesting, oh, wow, yes, oh, ah, the Holy Cross, oh, this is something awesome, oh, yes, okay. No. Wait a second. You have a relic to be venerated and to be. Is this Holy Cross to be adoration to the Holy Cross? But in a museum, just to be contemplated. Igual the churches, many beautiful churches are just museums. And they charge you to enter. You have to pay to enter just to be the beauty. They sell the beauty, but nothing inside. So that is happening to us. The seventh step is happening. We don't want a place to go. Yes. To worship God in a worthy manner. So yes, it's a great suffering. To say Mass in a house instead of a cathedral is a great suffering for us. So we follow the step of Our Lady. No, the eighth step. Solitude is, she is accompanied by St. John to the cenacle, by the holy women to spend the night in prayer. So Good Friday night in prayer and all Holy Saturday, fasting and just accompanying Our Lady. And this is our life on earth, the rest of our life here in this crisis. On Holy Saturday, there is no Mass. It's not surprising that we are in the Holy Saturday of the Church in this moment. Yes, you have to compare the events of our Lord's life and Our Lady to the situation of the Church today. We will be now in the Black Saturday. It means Holy Saturday is darkness. Our Lord is not there in the sanctuaries, in the churches. In the new masses, is not in the schools, not in the families anymore, is not in the hearts of men, is not in the doctrine, official doctrine even, he's not there, our Lord. So it's a Black Saturday, it's a Holy Saturday. And again, on Holy Saturday, there is no Mass. So this is a extraordinary situation I want you to reflect. What people did on Holy Saturday. What was the practice of Holy Saturday? You investigate with your books and with the saints. What was the activity on Holy Saturday? And was from midnight to morning was Our Lady of Solitude accompanying Our Lady in her solitude, crying, mourning with Our Lady. That was Our Lady with flowers, yet everything was covered with purple. Robes and blankets. The cross was not seen. The saints, you could not see an image of the saints. They were covered, all of them. Only you could see Our Lady mourning, crying. And the only activity in church that day was general confessions. Look at the history, you will see that. People starting 6 in the morning, Saturday, Holy Saturday, they were lining up for confession. There was confession until 8 p.m. All the churches in the world, they were full. That was a day for confession. Those who didn't go to confession the whole year, for some reason, they were living very far, maybe in an island, or I don't know. They were requested by the bishops to go that day to receive the Easter communion and to go to confession, or yearly confession at least, at the churches that day. So Holy Friday, Good Friday was to prepare to your confession, and Holy Saturday everybody want to confession. It's what supposed to be doing now to everybody, getting perfect contrition. Having your soul right, because there's no sacraments. Holy Saturday, there is no sacraments that day. Those people, how do they manage to survive? Just perfect contrition, confession. That's it. It's all that is available. So it should be no surprise or a scandal to us that there is nothing but perfect contrition. That's it. So it's our life on earth is precisely to live our consecration to Our Lady is to live the Holy Saturday nowadays. So St. John was that day with Our Lady, just accompanying her, consoling her. And the nine step for the solitude is precisely the reward after consoling Our Lady. We are consoled. I told you. After you give yourself, you receive back from her all the gratefulness and the graces that you need. So the ninth step is Our Lady giving thanks to you and giving you the Holy Ghost, the joys of the Holy Ghost, at looking at limbo, the souls going out of limbo, our Lord soul visiting those places, the hope of almost time for the resurrection and the great joy of the resurrection. And Our Lady is telling you, consoling you, it's coming. Our Lord is coming very soon. Which is precisely what this Apocalypse is about. In the book of the Apocalypse, St. John is saying, Our Lord is come. Come, Our Lord. Come quick. Maratana. Lord, come. We wait for you. Please come quickly. It's a consolation of being with Our Lady, because she's going to triumph very soon. It's a triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Soon, we just persevere. How much we have to persevere? Just a few years, maybe. A few months, a few years more. So patience is one of the fruits of the Holy Ghost. Patience, longanimity, so to endure huge crosses for a long, long period of time is called longanimity. It's a grace. It's a fruit of the Holy Ghost, one of the fruits. So we will see the fruits of the Holy Ghost in us if we are faithful to this devotion, to this, to the faith and to our Lord. It's a task for you, for the catechism, but it's, you remember, it's peace, one of the fruits, patience, longanimity, benignity, faith, charity, chastity, continence, there's two, three more there. Yes, it's the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Modesty, for example. Modesty is one of the fruits of the Holy Ghost. To see if the Holy Ghost is really in you, if He's working in you. It's amazing. It's a beautiful put of meditation. If someone keeps modesty, it's a sign that the Holy Ghost is working there. It's why the priest, we cannot stop a priest about modesty. The obligatory of modesty for everywhere, not only in the chapel, not only in the church, everywhere. To forbid our faithful of going to the beach. There's nothing to do there anymore. To the pools, no? We have nothing to do there. And even in hot places like Philippines, you must have modesty. It's no excuse, it's hot weather, and no, you must have. We, ladies and men also. So, this is the nine steps that we have to practice. So you notice also, in order to receive the nine steps, the rewards of the joys and the triumph of the ninth step, you have to pass through the first eight steps before arriving to the ninth step. So the ninth step is precisely the fruits of the Holy Ghost, and the eighth step is to be able to practice your consecration to Mary. But before that, you have to walk first the seven steps, which is you have to be fine with not having holy places or holy sacraments. Just Our Lady is enough. You have to be happy of not being able to have the tabernacle or holy churches to be praying on the Blessed Sacrament. You have to be happy to be in victim soul, the Red Cross, the Calvary, empty Calvary, to be put yourself in the place of our Lord in order to keep saving souls. You have to be ready to be able to have consolations from our Lord. You have to be ready to receive our Lord in your arms with Our Lady, just contemplating the horrors of sin everywhere, the horrors of our Lord being taken out from tradition, from the families, from the schools. You have to be able to be pierced with the sword with Our Lady, being betrayed by your friends, betrayed by your family, ready to be left alone. And finally, starting for the first step, our Lord dies on the cross, you die to sin, you die to yourself, you die to the world, you die to the devil. In order to live in the arms of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is true devotion to Mary. This is true devotion to Mary. Even for those who know Saint Louis de Montfort, they cannot understand the true devotion to Mary if they don't have not read the fruits of the cross and the divine wisdom. Fruits of the divine wisdom. The three books, they go together in order to be able to have a real devotion to Mary. The summary is our little solitude. To be with her, following her, suffering like her, with her, for her, through her. That's why we meditate in this moment. So you can grab. We meditate together, but today we correspond to the 7 and 8 steps today, and tomorrow will be the 9 steps and we meditate together. So we go and we will have also the way of the cross. Yes, it's raining, but we will do something.